What do you want to see out of the quarterback situation down here, down the road? I think that we're juggling a lot of stuff, and you know, even at what I just even with just one win, I mean, you're still juggling a lot of stuff because you still got to think about the future. You got to think about what this lineup's going to look like, what the roster is going to look like, how you get down the road from here, and try to figure out your quarterback situation. You have no idea how long before Deshaun Watson's going to be able to return to the field if he comes back next year. How do you plan and try to go ahead towards the future when things feel like they're in such flux and limbo?
The one thing that Kevin said yesterday that caught our ear was the same thing that caught the ear of most of the national folks. If you saw the stories that were written after Stefanski's press conference yesterday by the national folks, they said, Kevin Stefanski not willing to commit to Deshaun Watson as the starter next year. Now, you could say that Kevin was just being kind and looking in the moment and, hey, the guy just got an injury and blah, 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 blah. Interestingly enough, Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, I forget if it was Mike or one of the writers at Pro Football Talk, said the same thing I said, which was, okay, if it's Lamar Jackson who gets hurt, you think John Harbaugh is going to say, yeah, he's our starter next year? Or he's going to say, well, we're just worried about his injury and we'll see what happens. They said, no, of course he's going to say Lamar Jackson's the starter. Mm-hmm. Well, Deshaun hasn't played like Lamar Jackson.
No.
So Kevin gave himself wiggle room there, or he was just being nice. I think Kevin's a good guy and probably was being nice, but I also think he didn't want to say he's our starter next year. I mean, why would you? After the way he's played.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
There are a lot of things to be determined, Andy.
Yeah, that's true. And Kevin, let's be honest. If this is any team in the NFL, right, Kevin's job's on the line after this start.
Well, sure.
It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you're looking at a season where this is the hard part about what's going on right now. There were expectations on this season. This wasn't 0-16. This wasn't 1-17. This was a team that we have expectations for, that we're hoping that they can, you know, make the playoffs and be competitive. And we saw what happened last year, and you had reservations about looking at the schedule, and you had all these little things that you were looking at going into the year, but you're like, oh, maybe this is the year. Maybe they can do this. Maybe they can do that. Maybe nothing has come to fruition on this. Nothing. It's just been a backwards run the entire year. And now add to the fact that the quarterback that you invested all this into, and it's not his fault. He's out. I mean, he's hurt. You know, no matter what you think about the way he played or what the offensive line looked like or how much you can't stand the head coach or the offensive coordinator for the way they call plays, this is where we are. And where are we moving forward? I think that's the next question because, you know, a part of me is just eyeing down the draft. And you start wondering, well, do we really want them to win? Well, yes, I want them to win every game.
I don't want to start draft yet.
It's true, though. That's where we are. That's where this team is now. You have to seriously start thinking about the draft. Well, you start watching on Saturdays, going, is this quarterback good? Is this left tackle the guy we want to bring in? Is this offensive lineman a game changer? What's this going to look like? Who's going to be the quarterback somewhere down the road? There are a zillion questions about this team.
You handle that for us, will you? I'm not ready to do that yet, so you can handle that.
What, just look at the draft or think about the draft? We have the third pick in the draft if it happened today.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay.
We got 10 games to go. I don't expect them to make the playoffs.
Do you want them to win or lose? I mean,
I would rather see the team win.
I would, too. And I'd rather have a middle-of-the-road, well-researched pick than have to worry about trying to have the number 1, 2, or 3 pick in the draft.
Right.
That's what I want.
I
hope that's what Berea wants, too. I hope that's what the front office is looking at and saying, okay, look, we brought Jameis in here for a reason. Now let's see what this offense looks like now. Okay? We've got to move on from Deshaun. Deshaun's got to go do his thing, get surgery, get healthy. Okay? And then we'll cross that road when we get there. So the quarterback situation that when you look at the Browns right now is you have to ask yourself, where are we going with this thing? And when I talk about the draft, I'm talking about wondering, should they draft a quarterback coming up in the draft?
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay,
what I want to see out of the quarterback, play Jameis, play DTR. One or other, okay? I would prefer not to go back and forth. Pick one who you think, could this guy be our quarterback next year? Because you might need a quarterback next year. Okay, there's... just because you're having surgery doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be ready to play football at the beginning of the season.
True.
If you're even thinking about Deshaun being on this team next year and being the quarterback next year, there's no guarantee. Figure out if one of these guys can be your quarterback next year. And by doing that, that means you need to play them. So do you like Jameis enough that you think he could be your starting quarterback? I don't know the complete infatuation with DTR. Do you think you found the next Brock Purdy? If you think you found the next Brock Purdy, then play him. If you think you found a guy you can develop into a backup quarterback, then don't play him. Let him be a backup quarterback and figure out if Jameis can be your guy. But I'm hard-pressed to sit here and think, Andy, yeah, DTR is the future of quarterback. And and there are things I like about him a lot. But I'd rather see if Jameis can turn things around and really play pretty well. And if so, I'd sign him for next year. And I'd make him the starting quarterback.
Well, I want this to be a respectable season at this point. That's kind of what I'm looking at. That's my goal. And wherever you fall in the draft, you fall in the draft. Okay? But I also wonder, you bring in Bailey Zappe, right?
You need an extra body. You need an extra body.
I mean, he's just bubblegum in the dam, right? That's all he is. He's
need an extra body.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had such high hopes for DTR too, and then they threw him into the fire.
High hopes for DTR were misplaced.
Because he was behind Deshaun, or why? Jeff, when we were in the preseason last year, when they brought him in, people were like, man, look at this kid. Look what he could do. And then what happens? Twice now in two seasons, they've kind of put him out there without being able to kind of be prepared for it. I mean, he ran the scout team last week. A year ago, we were sitting to see, we were looking to see if Deshaun was going to be able to start, and they threw him in at the last second. Yes, I understand that's your job when you're a backup quarterback. You're always one play away. But if they knew he was going to be the backup last week, wouldn't it have seemed to be prudent to let him run some reps with the first team offense during practice? He said he ran scout team last week. Yeah, that's all he did.
I still don't understand why he was the backup quarterback, and as it turns out, you needed him. I just think, Andy, that you're looking at a quarterback, and he's not especially young. He's 24. But there's a reason that he was still on the board when the Browns drafted in the fifth round. Doesn't mean he can't become really good. I just don't think that you say, yeah, this is our quarterback of the future or our quarterback for next year. And that's it. I think he's got a lot of work to do. I described him to a buddy like this.
Okay.
Though I think he's pretty athletic, though I think he's got a terrific arm, I don't know that he has the touch that you want to see right now. And I described him as Justin Fields without the feet. Hmm. He doesn't run as well as Justin Fields. And Justin Fields has had a hard time in just kind of, getting the nuances of playing quarterback in the NFL. And I like DTR. I think he's a really interesting guy that you might be able to develop. I just don't think that this franchise is in a position to say, yeah, we're going to try and develop this guy as our starting quarterback. I don't think he's that guy yet. Maybe, but I would like to see Jameis and see if Jameis can play. And if Jameis has a good rest of the year, Andy, why wouldn't you make him the starting quarterback? He's had some major successes in the NFL.
If you feel like you can win, and we're also going to see what the offensive line looks like with a different quarterback. Was Deshaun hanging on to the ball too long? Did the offensive line just have a really, really hard time trying to figure out what he was going to do with the ball after they had said hike? When you have your initial call, and then we all know that evaporates in just seconds if things don't go exactly right. Mike is in Brunswick. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike.
Do you think it's okay to still have hope? I do still have hope. Looking at the way the season's gone, what did we go through a stretch of 0 for 30-some
31.
Third down conversions?
Uh-oh.
So, I think our defense is still that same elite defense from last year. We've lost games by, 4, 6, 7, mm-hmm. less than, one play here, one play there. and we are close to undefeated ourselves. I just don't feel like it's out of the realm of possibility.
What's the goal
to win out?
To win out?
Yes.
Do you really think that? I mean, I'm not trying to crush your hopes and dreams because that's what being a fan is all about. And I mean,
still got them. I mean,
14-year-old Andy Baskin would be like, yeah, man, they can win every game. Give them a shot. The problem is that I got all these years in between there and then and now, and I'm too cynical. And we all are. It'd be great. It'd be the greatest. It might be one of the best stories in sports history if they could do that.
I think so. There is the possibility, the what if. What if it was true that all we were was a backup quarterback away from making magic happen? You know, we've been calling for Deshaun Watson to be benched for the last 6-7 weeks. Basically, there are people asking them to be not even start the game one, you know. And maybe that is all. Maybe all we are is a quarterback that can get rid of the ball in 3 seconds away from winning all these close games. You know,
I hear you, and I appreciate your optimism, but I also believe, what are you doing,
Andy,
with the quarterback situation?
Walk around downtown.
That's what I'm saying.
Anywhere.
Oh, I know.
Anytime. It doesn't have to be after a game.
Oh, no. It seems to be way more frequent when you've got a gigantic crowd somewhere else.
That's because there are more people.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
And they're in a partying mood.
We are doing math on this show today. Now we've turned the corner. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We're talking about the quarterback position for the Browns, which is obviously always the biggest conversation in town, no matter what month it is, no matter what day it is, and now...
what year it is.
Yeah, you're just sitting here with Deshaun Watson about
what
to get surgery. You're sitting here with him. It looks like the Browns will ink Bailey Zappe today off of the Kansas City practice squad. So that would mean that he'll have to be on the active roster for at least 3 weeks as he joins the Browns. And the question is then how many other quarterbacks will they have, with DTR having the hand injury and then Jameis Winston finishing things out on Sunday? Jeff, I personally would like to see Jameis Winston start this game. I want to see what Jameis has. I know that's something that you...
I agree completely.
Kind of champion.
I agree completely.
I want to see what he looks like in this offense.
Andy,
I want to see what the offensive line looks like. I want to see how Ken Dorsey calls, or at least gets him set up, and I want to see how Kevin Stefanski calls a game.
I think he could be somebody's starting quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years in the NFL. Maybe ours. I don't know. Let's find out.
Kevin is in West Park. He's been hanging on the line. Hi, Kev. How are you?
Kevin.
Hey guys, thanks for having my call. Andy, first of all, I love what you said last Friday about economic growth in the city. I'm actually a local 38 guy, so your dad was a BA back in
the '90s.
Yes, indeed. So,
well,
anyhow,
more jobs are good. That's what I think always.
Yes, absolutely. Anyhow, the point I want to make, I got 2 points. First point is, when we went 1-31, you guys remember what Jimmy Haslam preached to us over and over and over during that time? Do you guys remember?
That we'll never go back to this, or we'll never be in this kind of situation again? Yeah.
Basically, I'm going to do my best Jimmy impersonation. Yeah, this is all about building for sustained success. Well, my question to you guys is trading away 3 first-rounders and 3 more picks, and then giving a quarterback $250 million guaranteed, is that building for sustained success? I mean, teenagers make better decisions than that.
Kevin?
And then my second point is...
Let me address that first.
Yeah, let him talk first. And then you come back and you can make your second point.
Had Deshaun Watson played here like he played in Houston, yes, that would have been a recipe for sustained success.
But he didn't. 3 first-rounders.
It doesn't matter. If you get your quarterback, you're good to go. And if he had played the way he played in Houston, they'd be good to go.
Kev, I think the hesitation on that whole thing was that they were chasing a guy that had already said that he didn't want to play here. I think that built to the storyline that we're at right now, too, on top of all of this, right?
Yeah, but anytime you're sacrificing first-round draft picks and then 3 more on top of that, that you're not building for sustained success. You're killing our roster. They killed our roster.
Good rosters with crappy quarterbacks are not good football teams. They thought they were getting a primo quarterback, and he hasn't played that way.
Well,
the first round picks, I'm not going to say they're irrelevant because they're critical, but if you have the quarterback, I'd rather have the great quarterback than three first round picks, and they don't have either. That's the problem, Kevin.
Sure. I agree with that. And then the second point, though, is where's our identity? We, you know, in Houston, when Houston had Deshaun, they went four wide, empty backfield all the time. Why? To help Deshaun read the defense a little bit better. That dictates what defense, the defense has to show what they're in when you're going empty back, four wide. Can we win? We're in the AFC North. Can we get by in December, January, running four wide with an empty backfield? That's the thing. They don't have an identity. Our identity should be, okay, if the quarterback didn't work out, stock up your defense, run the football, and win. I don't care about how many points we put up. Just win.
Did last year?
Yeah.
Kev, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Hey, have a good day. Thank you for all your hard work.
Thanks,
thank you, Kevin. Appreciate
thanks.
You.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
And it's tough to have an identity when you invest in a quarterback and the quarterback doesn't play anywhere near what your investment level is. You knew what your identity was going to be, what your offense was going to be. He hasn't played up to the level that he played in Houston. That's the whole problem here. That's the problem, Dano.
I was just going to say, also in 2021, when the Los Angeles Rams won the Super Bowl, how many first-round picks did they have on their roster that they drafted?
They traded picks like crazy to get veteran talent.
Aaron Donald.
There it is.
One. They had gotten rid of everything else. Everything else had flopped.
I'm sorry.
I mean, if you want to go backwards, Eric Mangini tried to do that here, and they just never didn't give him the time to finish it off. You know,
veterans who weren't very good.
My whole reasoning of bringing that up is there's a lot of different ways to get this done.
Absolutely.
That's the only way.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of ways to do this.
I like first-round draft picks. I'd rather have an absolute beast of a quarterback, and the Browns ended up with neither.
Jack is in Cleveland. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Well, Jack.
Good. Take us off speakerphone. I know you're on hold. I don't have a problem, but just...
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Yeah,
thank you.
Sure can.
All right, cool. So I just want to be honest with you guys. I found the Roddy McLeod interview this morning pretty distasteful. I get it.
I got to be honest, Jack. I didn't hear the whole thing because we were having a meeting. I did hear bits and pieces, so I can't... It's going to be hard for me to comment on this, and I don't know.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, it seemed like that he was still trying to, I guess, kind of defend Deshaun and still kind of make the fans feel bad for what happened. When, in all honesty, don't get me wrong, I didn't want Deshaun in anymore. I didn't think he was getting it done. I even got into knockdown, drag out fights with my buddies trying to defend him through the first month of the season because I just wanted to have blind faith.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a quarterback that you draft and you grow with and, you know, does everything that he did for you, you know, that's an emotional connection. When you get rid of a guy like that to bring in a guy like Deshaun, who had all the skill sets, had all the numbers, and you give him guaranteed money, and not only guaranteed money, but more money than the guy that you drafted wanted, I'm sorry, but if he plays as bad as he does, he deserves to get booed. It's a business transaction.
Not when he gets hurt.
Yeah, but not when he gets hurt.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
So, and Jack, let me just bring up this point, because I don't think anyone's talking about this. You can't tell me the players didn't hear Deshaun get booed in the beginning of the game when they introduced the offense. So they knew the scenario. They knew that I don't know, that the atmosphere wasn't real good for him to start.
They should know.
And yet,
Super Bowl expectations,
and yet,
guys.
For chastising. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Finish your thought, Jack. Go ahead.
No, sorry. This was supposed to be a year where, I mean, we had a guy come off the couch and bring us to the playoffs last year. And with Deshaun Watson being 100%, we had expectations of AFC title games, a Super Bowl. And you guys come out and you guys have all this talent on the roster. And it looks like a 1-31 team. I'm sorry, you deserve to get booed. You guys get paid millions of dollars. If I don't do my job correctly, I'm in the trades. If I don't do my job correctly, people can get hurt and I can get fired. And I don't have a freaking check coming in every week that is 6-7 figures. So you know what? That's the trade that you make when you play in the NFL. And if you want to come into Cleveland and you want to succeed, you got to play on the field and you got to succeed on the field. Otherwise, we're going to boo you. Every sports fan base is going to boo teams that suck. And right now, they suck.
Thank you, Jack. Okay. And I don't disagree. I don't have a problem with booing. I don't. I don't have any problem with anybody booing. That's the problem is when someone's hurt, you just keep your mouth shut. Someone gets hurt, let's just hope that they're okay in the long run. You don't have to like them as a quarterback. You don't have to like them as a person. You don't have to like anything about them. But if somebody's hurt and they're on the field, it doesn't give you to be a license to be an idiot in the stands. I did catch a little of what Rodney said, and I do think sometimes we forget that these athletes are humans too, that there isn't an invisible wall between the fence and the fans. Players hear it. But I'm sorry, between the fans and the players. There's no wall there, okay? Like, it's not you say whatever you want and you think the players aren't reacting. They can hear you. It is what it is. Just don't be an idiot when someone gets hurt and cheer. That's all we're saying. And the hard part about it is the vast majority of the fans who were there on Sunday were not cheering. They weren't. And now all we're talking about is this moment where a guy got hurt, which was horrible. But the fact of the matter is the team doesn't look good. They're not playing well.
And
no one really had to talk about that after the game because the players drove the conversation afterwards.
The whole notion that the roster is loaded with talent, too. I fought back against that before the season started on the offensive side of the ball. People didn't want to hear it. I think it's pretty visible now, isn't it?
We'll continue to talk to you. Mary Kay Cabot's coming up next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.